Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to fellowship together with your spirit and with one another. Lord, we ask that you cause your light to come to us tonight through your word. We ask that the envelope of your presence will saturate and surround this place. Grant us encounters that will change our lives and make us impactful in the enterprise of kingdom advancement. Thank you for the ones you've allowed to be trained, who are graduating and being commissioned tonight. Father, we ask that there be release and impartation of grace upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Take all the glory tonight. Even as we step into your word, we know we'll be transformed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a big hand. Glory to God. Tonight, I want to briefly share with us, you may be seated, what I've titled, Descent Man. Glory to God. We have come to a point where everybody must be brought into the consciousness of the need of participating with the Holy Spirit in the enterprise of advancing the frontiers of God's kingdom. There are many who believe kingdom advancement is only for the fivefold ministers. So every time you speak about advancing the kingdom, they think you must have a title of an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. But when you study the scriptures critically, you will discover that the plan of God is for every one of us to go into our respective spheres and advance the frontiers of God's kingdom. And so it's important for us to come into that consciousness and awakening, and then receive grace, training, and be able to do it. Hallelujah. If you study your Bible in Ephesians 4, from verse 11 to verse 13, the Bible said, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." What's the role of the fivefold? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The job of the fivefold is twofold: perfecting the saints for ministry and building up the church, glory to God, through intercession and doctrine. The reason most times you see that the fivefold appear to be the only ones going into the field of missions is because there is deficiency in training and commissioning of believers. Every believer in the heart of God should be equipped, empowered, and sent. Sent because God has already done the sending. So a believer who yields to training is expected to be sent. As I'll be teaching tonight, I will show you the place of the few people that God sends, calls and sends, and the place of the body of Christ that God sends along. So that whichever category you find yourself, you will know what to pick and then wake up to your calling. Because there are a few that had encounters, God called them, God sent them, and there are others that God may not specially send as individuals, but he sends along with those he has sent. Oftentimes, those who are sent identifies them, engraft them, and allow them to fulfill their calling. But again, if you study the Bible, you will discover that whether the multitudes that are sent or the few selected and sent, they are all sent by God. And we are all serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I began sharing with you, it is the plan of God that existence itself should find meaning, amongst other things, as we begin to participate with the Spirit of God in establishing his kingdom upon the face of the earth. I showed you already, man was created to know the Lord. And the reason is because in knowing God, he is transfigured to become like God. Say, this is life eternal. John 17:3. That you may know him, the only true God. So if you don't know him, you don't have life. And we know that the more we know him, the more we become like him. Because we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. We are metamorphosed. And then man was created to worship and to glorify God. Isaiah 43:21. These people I have created that they may show forth my glory. He said, God is seeking true worshippers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John 4:23 and 24. And then, we were created to advance the kingdom. You cannot afford to be idle, as you walk through the face of the earth. The goal of existence is not just for you to say, I don't come. And you start enjoying yourself. God has an agenda, and he wants you to join hands with him to facilitate that agenda. This is why you are here. When Jesus was here, we saw it characterized both in his life and in his prayer. In Matthew 6:10, while he was teaching them to pray, he said, when you want to talk to God, make sure you go with this, because it's critical. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't just go to God and say, give us this day our daily bread. Make sure you present thy kingdom come. I am a part of it. And if you study Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible says Jesus went from city to village preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So his life and his communion with the Father characterized it. And when we saw the apostles, they did the same. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, he said, now are we ambassadors of Christ. Paul called himself an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And he didn't expect that only them would be ambassadors. Because like I showed you from Ephesians 4 verse 12, we are to equip the believers for the work of the ministry. So every believer must come to terms with the fact that he was created to advance the kingdom. And if he's not advancing the kingdom, it doesn't matter how old he is. He has just ended up wasting a beautiful reality called existence. And when he returns to God, he will find out. Because his existence, no matter how old, will count for nothing. Glory to God. So it's important that we understand this. The Bible said that every one of us was commissioned for the work of the ministry. And we see that God has kept that pattern. If you study your Bible, you will see the consistency in this pattern. For instance, he was speaking to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, there is something that predates your creation. There is something that substantiated your creation. There is something that gave meaning to your creation. Before you were formed, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet. So kingdom service, ordination, predates your existence. If you come into time and you are not giving expression to ordination, your existence is a waste. This is God's pattern. And this is not an Old Testament theology. Paul came and taught the same. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, Paul told us how that serving God, advancing kingdom, ordination predates existence and characterizes the meaning of our existence. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are now part of God's family. Then verse 30, moreover, whom he predestinate, them he also called. So your calling, your ordination, participation in advancing God's agenda was something God concluded and perfected before you were created. So you can't come into time and become so busy or creative that you don't think worthy the sacrifice of participating in kingdom agenda. You were predestinated, you were called. And when you were called, you were justified and glorified. So you were called by God to join hands with him to advance his kingdom. And you are doing it from a blameless standpoint and from an empowered or glorified standpoint. This is why it's critical that every believer is awoken to this reality. When Jesus was about to leave the world in John 20:21, he gathered all that believed in him. And the Bible said, he breathed upon them the breath of the Spirit. And he said, peace be unto you. And he said, as the Father hath sent me, he says, so also send I you. The way I was sent to represent God's interest. That's how you are being sent. So you are not on earth as a wanderer. You are not on earth as a tourist. You are on earth as a man on mission. Sent by God to establish his counsel on the face of the earth. Now, I don't have time to show you the kingdom tonight. But those of you who follow, you know we have taught you the subject of the kingdom. I've taught you that the kingdom is fourfold in definition. Number one, the kingdom of God is the realm of divine life. The Bible said in John chapter 3, if you read verse 3, verse 6, verse 8, you see Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he can't perceive the kingdom. So anywhere the life of God dominates, the kingdom of God is there. So when we speak about advancing the kingdom, we are talking about our spiritual enterprise that brings people under the government of divine life. And the way we do it is by preaching Christ. Because until you receive Christ, you can't have the life of God. So when I'm talking about being sent to advance the kingdom, I'm talking about you taking the responsibility to present Christ to a generation so that upon the receipt of Christ, they receive the life of God and they come under the authority of God's life. Number two, I told you here that the kingdom of God has to do with the realm of God's wisdom. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 16:19. He said, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. He was talking about the wisdom and the principles of God. So beyond giving people the life of God, we also teach them the ways of God. This is why, you know, in the world, selfishness is the ideology. But when you come into the kingdom, we teach you selflessness. In the world system, pleasure is the focus. In the kingdom of God, obedience and service is the focus. So when we talk kingdom, we are talking about your ability to reorient a fallen generation to depart from the ideology and the principle of the world system and to adopt the principles of God. This is why you see here, we teach you to love your enemies. We teach you to forgive unconditionally. The world will teach you the way of revenge. In the world system, they teach you everything is transaction. You give to take. But in the kingdom, you can give millions for somebody to be one whom you have never met. It means you've come under the authority of God's wisdom. That's what you go out to bring to people. Love, forgiveness, temperance, patience, kindness. These are the things we bring into the world system. Glory to God. Integrity, purity of lifestyle is the kingdom, is the wisdom of God. Generosity. And then number three, I told you the kingdom of God is a realm governed by God's authority. Jesus was speaking in Luke 11 verse 20. He said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, it means the kingdom of God is among you. So when we talk kingdom, we talk about the expression of divine authority. So you are expected to go out there and demonstrate God's authority. So we teach you here why we encourage everything that has to do with living properly as a human. Living healthily as a human, we understand that there are realms beyond the natural. And when the negative supernatural seeks to hold sway in a territory, if you come there, you stop it. So we tell you to cast out devils. I tell people to rest. I tell people to exercise. I tell people to feed well. But you can rest, exercise, and feed well, still be sick. Thank God we have doctors here, they are consultants here. In medicine, that's what they call idiopathic medicine. They can't tell the cause. And you know, if you can...
If you cannot give the diagnosis, it will be difficult to give the prognosis. Glory to Jesus. So if a doctor can't tell you the cause, how can he now recommend the cure? In fact, largely what medicine does is to help you manage the situation. There are many issues they don't have cure to. Schizophrenia is one of them. Autism is another. They don't know where it comes from. But we know. Because we know there are two governments. We know there are two kingdoms. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So we know there is a dark government that wants to undermine the quality of human existence. And it does it through sin, through sickness, through death. And so when we come, we don't massage the situation. Why we thank God for doctors? Because once upon a time, all of us depended on them before we built faith. And they are still relevant. Because God himself does not despise medicine. The prophet came to a king that had boys. And he said to put leaves on it. So God is not against medical science. But you see, if demons are resisting drugs, then Maharakis, Ota, Frakatila, Atas, Maro Gavela, Indakura, Atavila, Andazuzo, Mantakibra, Ata, the one that lab can't handle, the one that all the equipments of medicine can't handle, when you show up, it's a lay hands on the sick. They will recover. So it doesn't matter if it's accident, lay hands on the sick. And in case a demon is involved, it says cast out devils. So we can show up, they say somebody is mad. We can show up, they say the stomach is swollen. They are expecting us to give them ointment. Para Sudan Astas, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of darkness, come out. Kingdom. So when we say you are sent, we are not saying you are going to tell people I belong to a church. The denomination is irrelevant. It's how much of Christ and the government he represents you can install that matters. And you install it by bringing his life. You install it by bringing his wisdom. You install it by demonstrating his authority. And then finally, the kingdom is the realm of the will of God. Anywhere the will of God finds expression, the kingdom has found expression. Matthew 6 verse 10. Thy kingdom come. How? Thy will be done on earth. So the kingdom comes when his will is done. And what is the will of God? That Jesus is recognized as the preeminent one. The king, the Lord, that everyone submits to both him and his principles. So if you are anywhere, you are not ashamed to declare that Jesus is Lord. And that his principles we hold sway. Even if it costs you something, you are willing to do it so that Jesus is glorified. That is the will of the Father. When you are able to articulate these four realities, express them until they become the predominant factor in any sphere of influence, it means you have brought the kingdom. But you see, for you to do this, you must number among the sent ones. This is why we want to understand who the sent man is. This is what we need to understand. Because there is a call that every one of us, whether male or female, white or black, young or old, is awoken into this sacred calling. Joining hands with the Ancient of Days to advance his agenda in our generation and in our time. So a sent man, it's one who is chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Romans 8 30. Called in time. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Called in time. Mark 3 14. He called them to be with him so that he might send them. Called in time. Empowered and commissioned with authority. John 2, 21. As the Father sent me. Acts 13, verse 2. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. Commissioned. Empowered with authority. And then deployed to represent God's interest. This is who a sent man is. Chosen before time, called in time, empowered and commissioned to take over a territory and to express a purpose, or a mandate. And every one of us seated here has a calling on our lives. Whether we will be sent is our choice. The Bible said in Mark 3:14, He called them to be with Him so that He might send them. The calling is already there. But for you to be sent is your choice. Are you going to yield yourself to the Spirit? Are you going to yield yourself to be trained so that you meet the grace credential to be sent? There are a few things I want to show us this evening. Number one, the possibility of God sending you as an individual to whom He sends others with, or sending an individual and having you back them, but both of you are sent nonetheless. So you have the example of Elijah and Elijah, of Moses and of Joshua, of Paul and of Timothy. God called Moses, called Elijah, called Paul. It looked like these are the only sent people. No. Joshua is also sent. That's why most times when people follow, a point comes when God detaches those people and tells them to do something else. And then there are times when they follow forever, yet they have a calling with God. So there was an Aaron and there was a Joshua. Aaron served with Moses all his life. A point came when Moses died, Joshua took over. So that same weight of calling was on Joshua. But God wanted him to walk with Moses. The calling of Joshua is not inferior. It's just God's structured way of operation. In Isaiah 9 verse 8, it said He sent His word to Jacob. It lighted upon Israel. So there are those who we have encounter before a burning bush. There are those who hear a voice, call them. An earplug. It's possible. But there are those who may not have that. But they will know, they will have a burden that I belong here. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness. Prophetic people will confirm. And when they go there, they will find fulfillment. And whoever is in charge will discern their calling. And they will be given opportunity to express it. So whether you do it in company or as an individual does not matter. You must have an understanding that we are all sent. Some of us are sent individually and spectacularly, as it were, like Elijah, like Moses. And some of us, it looks like others asked us to join. But whether it appears spectacular or not, we are all sent. You must wake up to the fact that I am sent. God chose me before time began. God called me in time. God has empowered me, and I will fulfill my mandate. If this truth is established, then you are ready for the calling of God. So very quickly, I want to show you the qualifications of a sent man. Why am I saying this? We are all called already. But whether we will eventually respond to the commissioning depends on a few conditions. Potentially, there is a calling on you to be sent. But vitally, there are rudiments. And everybody who wants to be part of those who will walk in the sent generation must recognize these rudiments and fulfill it. That's the first thing I want to show us tonight. Number two, I will go further and show us God's expectations for a sent man. Because when God sends you, there are things He expects to see in your life. Glory to God. And then number three, I will yet go further to show you the various fields of missions that we are sent to as sent men and as sent women. And then number four, I will go a bit further to show you the... I hope this will not scare someone. The hazards, possible hazards of a man who is sent. Then finally, I will show you the one you love. The blessings of a sent man. I kept that last because I know that's the one that will interest somebody the most. But let's begin with the ones that you don't want. But I will say them nonetheless. Glory to God. If a man is called, he is called in order to be sent. Whether he ends up amongst the quadrant of the sent depends on his yieldedness to attain the credentials that God looks at before sending a man. And for our teaching tonight, I have listed 6 basic credentials of a sent man. 6. Number 1. Every man who is sent must first of all have a calling. God does not send you if he has not called you. And the reason is simple. So that you don't end up sending yourself. The Bible said in Mark 3:14, he called them to be with him so that he can send them. If you reject the calling, you cannot be sent. You know why? Many people don't end up being sent. In the calling is where the disciplines of the Lord are found. And so people who want to be sent without first of all accepting the call end up either as hirelings or as criminals. Because before God models you to a generation as this man, he will carry you through process. He will chisel you. Look at when he met Peter, James, and John. He called them, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. But before I make you fishers of men, follow me first." Because there is an anger issue that he must handle in Peter. If you are not called, you can't be sent. It is in the calling that the disciplines of the Lord are captured. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, because there are many people who want to call God Father, call God their King, call God their Lord, but they don't embrace the chastening of the Lord. That's why you see that the church is numerous, but sent men are few. The reason is simple. We have violated process. It said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, notice, sons are sent people. For God so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten son. So he's talking about sent men. So the father scourges every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as what? Sons. As sent people. For what man is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are ye partakers? He said, then ye are bastards and not sons. So there are many bastards masquerading with the name of the Lord as though they are sent. But in the realm of God, they are bastards. They were disowned. God doesn't know them. So if you believe God will send you, you must submit yourself to the school of process. Oh, I taught a message, 7 classes in the school of process. I want to recommend it to you. If you have not watched it, thank God we are in a media age. Go type Oropo Michael, 7 classes in the school of process. Sit on that message. It will chisel you. There are classes of encounters. There are classes of instruction. There are classes of service. There are classes of humbling, where God humbles you. And then there are classes of grace and glorification. There are 7 I listed there. God will of necessity process you before he commissions you. But many people refuse the calling because the calling comes with a lot of purging and chastening. Somebody tells you, "I am God called me to be a prophet." Meanwhile, there are 7 years of fasting and service. Now, because he is obsessed about power, he may obey the fasting class for a while because he wants to see power. He wants his vision to be clear. Then God now brings him to the class of service and puts him under somebody whom he obviously is more gifted than. And then when the person starts giving him instruction, he's like, do you know me? I was sent to take Africa. You are joking. You are violating the call. You think you will enter the tent. You know what they do? They rebel. They break out and go out with gifts. And they are naked. Before you know what's happening, they've impregnated three ladies. They ran from that city. They entered another city. They've collected money from people. The police is chasing them. They take off. After a while, ministry that should be a global specter for God is now lived in obscurity. So they end up doing family deliverance from one village to another, collecting money. Even that one, a point comes, they stop. Because before if every family become aware that these are wolves, it's not because there was no genuine call, but they didn't yield to the demand of the call. So appetites were not chiseled. Excesses were not shaved off. And it became a reproach on their lives. So there is a calling where God draws you to himself and exposes you to the tutelage of the Spirit so that he can refine you for the unique assignment he gave you. Listen, some of you are graduating today. Your calling is starting now. You will be shocked that God will ask you to serve for 2 years, for 3 years. Some of you already have titles. Those titles will be stripped off. I know you're already calling yourself apostle. But God said there are 5 years of wilderness. Because whether you go with a title or a mantle depends on how you yield to the call. And you know how the deception of ministry. You lay hands on three people, they fall down. You pray for somebody, a wound dry up. You pray. I couldn't hear well. You start hearing. You think ministry has finished. You have no idea. Paul said, if after the manner of men, I fought the beasts of Ephesus. You will enter a certain city, wicked and unreasonable men will rise up. Their goal is to destroy you. You will fight principalities and powers. Because every time you say, thy kingdom come, it's a declaration of war. The spirit you want to uninstall will come for you. And if you don't have the requisite credential from the school of process, you will become a reproach in a place where you should be decorated. So God calls. Then number two, when God calls you, he now empowers you. Because we are not lecturers, we are witnesses. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, after he drilled the apostles, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. There is the and. That and will make the whole difference. Oh. I know most of you have the Holy Ghost. You speak in tongues. In fact, you are now known by a posture of tongue or a sound of tongue. When you start speaking in tongue, they call you the father of capital letter tongue. I know you have stature among men, but power is different from I can speak in tongues. It didn't say you have the Holy Ghost and tongues. It said you have the Holy Ghost and power. People who have spoken in tongues have died. When God wants to raise you, it is as you come to the end of different classes in process that he opens gates of empowerment to you. Suddenly that revelation you have will crystallize. You read in your Bible, I will lay hands on the sick, they recover. You now pass a class of process. And then you see that suddenly that revelation is no longer a theological verse. It becomes real to you. You will know it. Now, you will know it differently. There is an assurance. You will just know it. This one is not taught. It's a gate open. You know, Paul was praying for the church. He said, I pray to God, the Father of glory, that he may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's apocalypsis, unveiling. That same verse you have quoted for 5 years suddenly will be animated. And you will just know that you have it. But what has happened is that when you read it, you needed to go through certain pathways with God for it to become a reality to your spirit. So it's as you pass through certain classes that those realities will unveil. And then you will know that empowerment has come. When Moses was going to Pharaoh, he wasn't hoping that something will happen. He knew something will happen. He knew. Because God told him, when you go before Pharaoh and it challenges you, drop your rod. Anytime you drop it, it will be a serpent. This is not trial and error. This is what he had. In fact, when Moses left that encounter in Exodus 4, verse 2 to 5, the Bible began to call the rod of Moses the rod of God. It wasn't coincidence. It was something he had. He knew it. See, every sent man is a carrier of power. He said, you shall be witnesses. We are not lecturers. We may teach certain things with theological depth, but beyond the theological knowledge, there is an empowerment. Now, imagine how beautiful it would be if a whole church is full of empowered men. The queue to see pastor will reduce. It's not this one. I want to travel. I must see Papa. No, you don't have to see Papa. The Bible said the sons of Issachar, they were men that understood times and seasons. It said the heads of them were 200. All their brethren were in charge of their brethren. What are you talking about? You come to church, 30 people can just say, listen, do this. And it's not, hey, what are you saying? No, there's no drama in church, sir. What you have, 20 other people have it. Because we are of that order. We are of that dimension. We are of that spiritual clan. We have it. We can express it. So when there's need for direction, wisdom comes from Issachar. Wisdom. You just know, these ones have the grace. Imagine if you come to church. We need to grow beyond the physical departments. We are choir. We are ushers. And all we do is to smile at people. Go here, go there. When will you start navigating demons out of auditoriums? It's not just men. You say, come and sit down. Somebody is entering church. You shook the person. There's a spirit of depression. As you hold that person, demons scream out. And if people are not gathering, what is happening? It's normal. An alcoholic is entering church. When choir, when usher say, welcome. As you shook that person, you interact with the devil. And the demons checks out. You know, this is a missionary church. The early church, they didn't need any special ceremony. Philip went to Samaria. That's an usher. There was no special program. Oh, let's send Philip. No. Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. The Bible said lame men were walking. Demons were cast out. By who? By an usher. Today you send a pastor. After 2 weeks, he's sending SOS. Because we have mastered cliches and dogmas. We don't have men that carry power. Because many are violating process. Announced in church today, let's fast for 40 days. If 40 days comes, you'll be shocked that it's 10 people that will fast. And then they are shocked that somebody is pressing them in their dream. They are shocked that they were traveling. Demons were tumbling their cars. Why wouldn't those things happen? Because you have violated the systems of cover. When the Spirit said fast, he was raising men that he will empower. But at the end of the day, no fasting. See the number here. Because Sunday services, they are prophetic words. They are declarations. Call for vigil. You'll be shocked. It's 1/10 of the church you will see. That's why those who are empowered are few. But if God will really send you, he won't send you naked. He will wait until you are able to carry power. Because he's your father. He doesn't want you to become a casualty of war. So the Bible said in Luke 24:49, he told them, you have learned the theology. Tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. Not many days from now, you shall receive power. Then you shall be a witness. If you have not carried power, stay and serve in-house. The office of the sent man is for the one who has caught power. He can wield authority. When he meets demons, he doesn't call senior pastor. When he meets the sick, he doesn't call senior pastor. When there is need for direction, and we are so happy now. I called Papa, I called the bishop, I called senior pastor, and I said this around 1 a.m. Papa made the declaration, and the whole thing got done. A church of pampas, everybody is wearing pampas. There's only one champion. And Papa will fight to keep that position. He's the only one who raises cripples. He's the only one who opens blind eyes. Anybody who needs anything. Some people, they queue up for 1 year to see Papa. And the testimony is, I waited. After 1 year, when I finally saw Papa, Papa lay hand on me and the demon left. What a shame. The Bible didn't say he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to be the only ones doing miracles. It said the power thing is for everybody. These signs shall follow them that believe. The apostles are to equip. A generation of men that carry genuine power will rise. Genuine power. Genuine power. Because God wants to send the generation. I'm showing you this so that you will contend to be sent. Number three. When God wants to send you, he gives you a strategy. It's not this ambitious generation where people don't even know what God wants them to do. There's no mandate and calling. There's no strategy. They just carry another person's ministry's vision and change the name. Edit one or two words. This is my own vision. And throw any title they want on their shoulder. No. When God genuinely sends you or connects you to a people sent, you will see a unique strategy. Now, there's a place for inspiration. There are many who inspire me. But every ministry, every sent person has his own unique strategy from God. Very unique. For Moses, God gave him a rod. Drop it, it will become a serpent. Pick it by the tail. You know the problem you have? You went to drop a rod because you saw Moses with rod. Yours can't turn to serpent. Moses is walking with a rod that doubles as a serpent and as the rod of God. You are carrying a stick. So when Moses meets Pharaoh, he has something to drop. You now don't have anything to drop because it wasn't your strategy. Meanwhile, Moses was whispered to pick it by the tail. Even if your own turn to serpent, you carry it on the head, your own serpent will bite and kill you. Because you were not on the mountain when he encountered God. But you want to come to the valley and demonstrate the God you didn't meet on the mountain. Look at what John said. John 1:33. The one that sent me to baptize. I'm not dipping people in water for novelty's sake. No. He told me to dip people in water. That's why they called him John the Baptist. Because the Pharisees and the Jewish people were doing ceremonial cleanliness. They sprinkled water on people. He said, dip him in water. You are not washing him. It's a sign. It's a system. When you do that to the Messiah, the heavens will open. So he was doing it looking for the Messiah. You are dipping people in water without direction. What's the strategy? Why is good to be inspired? Copy and paste is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. If you are genuinely called and sent, the one who sent you will give you your strategy. And if you are sent with a company, you will be able to tell their strategy. Clearly. Clearly. And from time to time, when God chooses to add more instruction, you will get it because you heard the first one. You heard it. He said to Habakkuk, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that in my run that reads it. So the job of Habakkuk is to be writing. The church will be growing as he's writing. You go and start writing. Some people have written books. They are the ones carrying it on the head and forcing everybody to take. Don't read, just put it in yourself. They were not told. It's not a strategy. So the guy who should be doing podcast is writing book. Because one sister wrote book. The one who should be writing book is doing podcast. Because somebody was doing podcast. Okay, are you sent? Did you go through process when you were called? Have you received an empowerment? Is there a unique strategy? This is why the calling is not a casual thing. When a man is called, Watch out for the day he will be sent. You can tell the difference. God would have carried him through a refinery. That person can never be the same. You meet them, you can tell that they have met a spirit. Number four, God gives a location. Even if you are sent to the whole world, there is a place to start from. You shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, then the uttermost part of the world. Some people are sent. They feel that if they go to their village, they will, since it's their people, they will have sentiment. They now go to their village, then one uncle will say, so you have come. They will carry padlock and go and put on a tree and hit it 10 times. Victor, Peter, Onyeka, Chinenye. Because if you don't go to where he sent you, you won't find your provision. He told Elijah where to sit down. As far as he was there, ravens brought bread. He didn't need a bakery. And somebody said, ravens are the most stingy birds. That they are able to find bread where they found it from is a miracle. Then the greater miracle is that they didn't eat it and brought it to Elijah morning and evening. They said, nowadays, everybody is going to Abuja. Come around. When they tell you money for whore, auditorium. I believe my calling is in the U.S. He has violated process. Fast, no. Serve, no. He wants to go. Somebody wanted to kill me here. He will come. The eyes will be red. What is it? He said, he's calling. It's the U.S. God told him that the people are already waiting. I said, how many souls have you won? Not one. A point came when he wanted to bully me. I handed him over to Pastor Sonny. So when he's coming, I say, have you finished with? I said, see what I will do. I will give you. What did we do for him, Pastor Sonny? We gave him money to apply for visa. Gave him money for, we did passport for him. I think we did a few things. And now say, if it's God that sent you, he will take over from here. After 3 weeks, he came back. What happened? I was rejected at the embassy. Don't worry. If it's God, he will go. Why are you broke? Why are you heartbroken? If it's God, it's not the embassy that has the final say. I told you my story. My first passport was not stamped until it expired. I didn't even go to Ghana or Benin Republic. But I knew I was sent. Today, we have an ongoing program. We call it Mission 7-7. You know what that is? Seven nations, seven conferences. We just returned from Zambia. I was in Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia. Three countries in 5 days. All packed with miracles. When I came, I'm going to England this week on Thursday. I'll go to Australia next week. I'll go to Fiji Island the week after. Now, look at this. As I came from Zambia, I came in on Monday. Before Sunday, I went to Canada. I preached and came in this morning. This is the same person that passport was not stamped. And I'm not going as a tourist. It's demand. The oil is flowing. Nations are placing demand. Most of these meetings, ask them. The hall in Botswana, somebody paid for it. The hall in Zambia, somebody paid for it. The hall in, we are going to Netherlands, by the way. Somebody paid 61,000 euros. He said, we will handle it. If you are sent, just follow. I started in Makurdi. There was opportunity for scholarship. Stay here. You have not exhausted the time here. When the time finished, he moved me to Abuja. Now it's to the nations. Don't come under pressure. How can me like this? I'll be doing this kind of global ministry. How will I be in Anyangba? Who can see? there's no partner here who can even give us 100,000. What? How can this ministry be global? As thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so also knowest not thou the ways of the spirit. You can affect the world from Anyangba. When they are not sent, they are under pressure. See, those who are sent, leave them in a hole. They are enjoying their calling. They are enjoying. See, I was never sensitive about nations. I just loved it when souls were won. I loved it when I saw miracles. So we fasted, we prayed, we went to cast out demons. Sometimes it took us 4 days to cast out one demon. When we come back and pray, go back, come. When the demon is finally cast out, you need to see the way we felt fulfilled. We walked out like warriors. We dealt with that demon. We didn't know we were in Makurdi. We didn't care. In fact, when I was in Makurdi, somebody called me under pressure. There is an invitation in London. Please don't miss this opportunity. You must be there. You must be there. I didn't even respond. Because in that season, I wasn't being sent to London. You go to London, when you finish, they'll say, sorry, we don't have transport. Then you go and enter the container in a ship and come back. Relax. Are you sent? God sent me, but I'm checking whether between Lagos, Port Harcourt, or Abuja. Which one? Lagos, they are business people. Port Harcourt is oil company. Abuja can meet the senators and president. When you come, maybe you will stop in Maraba. Sent. There is precision about location. Come in the volume of the books. It was written about me to do your will. You know, I began by telling you, we are all called. We all have potentials to be sent. These are the rudiments. In a company, but you are doing politics. They must send me to London. I must be a resident pastor in London. Relax. They send you to a location. Oh yeah, come back and go here. No, you have a new calling. You will pack your bag in the night and run away. This is not ambition. The one who sends you, if he sends you as an individual, he will give you a location. If he sends you in a company, he will inspire your location. We taught them. Some people, you say, go here. They start murmuring. How can this one be going to Lagos? Me like this. Was I not the one who prayed the other day and people were falling down? And the one that they say, I should go to Todonga in Benue State. This global calling. What am I going? And you are seeing politics. They are sending money to accountant, calling a... From day one, I told myself, the rural areas are better. Because I meet more sick people there. It gives me opportunity for power. I can shut it down easily. Those were our mentalities. We weren't planning to be all around the world. It's the sent mentality. This is why anywhere God puts you, you enter with a vision, a purpose. You send some. They have not won souls. They want to bring all their relatives. It's not a migration plan. The time that you use to build God's kingdom, they are already studying everything with immigration. How to bring auntie, how to bring brother, how to bring... Oh, Gaza. His kingdom, they say you should build. Not to change your family fortune by migrating everybody abroad. When you want to know who is sent, these are the factors. A man who is sent, there is assurance in the spirit. Number four, or number five, after location, then there is the mandate. This is what we call the commission, where the assignment is given. You will know what you should do. There is a clear cut mandate. It's not where, what should we do this? Should we try? No, there's a clear mandate. Here we know. He said, raise men that know God by experience and fulfill their eternal ordination. Clear. That's why you see us, we teach the word raw. We drag people into prayer. But the idea is to get you to know God for yourself. That's why we talk the way we talk. That's why I'm not afraid when I try to disconnect you from relying on me. The idea is for you to know God for yourself. That's what I was asked to do. And when you start knowing God, you will discover your calling. Here, when people meet me and say, God wants me to start something, we support them. Prayer, impartation, and money. There's no fight, quarrel. Ah, where do you want? No, no. I fulfill my call when you find your call. It says to help them fulfill their eternal ordination. If your ordination is to walk with me, glory to God, we join hands. If God says, go and start something, we support them with money. This is not theory. We have commissioned many. I don't want to disrespect them by calling their names. We pray, we impart, we give gadgets. I've sent people out, carry this camera, give this one, and give them money. Even workers here. Oh, some of them came to me, video editors. God told me to go back to Lagos, give him this so and so million. When you go, buy a laptop, start a studio. There's no fight. This is not system. This is kingdom. If I don't know my calling, if you come and say, hey, God wants me to start. Huh. There are pastors that kill Ram. He will not succeed. He will not succeed. He will go to backyard. Somebody, God says somebody should start calling, you know, to serve Jesus. They will go to backyard and be slaughtering ram, pastor. As I kill this ram, this is how every rebellious pastor, everyone who left this commission, this is how they will die. This is how the calling will end. Pastor has turned to a herbalist because he is afraid. And then if you go, you can't be greater than them. Monitoring spirits are following you everywhere. Any step you take, they are reporting it. And they are countering you. You will think you are fighting demons. You are not fighting demons. You are fighting systems. They build systems to frustrate. See, but if you are sent, Pakisa Vetalutakai, he sent me to win souls. He sent me to raise souls. See, you will see heaven back you up. He told us here, raise sons who can do the will of their heavenly father. Raise kings who reign in life and advance the kingdom of God. Raise priests who can bear the burdens of God. That's why we here is a kingly mentality. Raising kings here. People come, they want to kneel down. Say, we don't kneel down here to greet. Kings don't kneel down to greet. We only kneel down when we pray to God. We are raising kings. So everybody shakes hands. I see a lot of you. I know the place of respect. I'm not against it. But we are royals. Most of them come to my house. They want to push you. I say, princes, don't push you. Where are you and coming? Sit down. See, I sit with my driver to eat food. Everybody around me, we are raising you to be a king. Sit down here, let's eat. This is the calling. Somebody else has a different call. He can model it in a different way. It doesn't mean we are right, they are wrong. No, he's calling. He said, raise sons, raise priests, raise kings. And he gave us 5 mandates to ventilate it. There's an apostolic mandate. That's why you see us opening centers around the world. There's an evangelism mandate. That's why you see us on a weekly basis. We are winning souls. We are empowering others to win souls. There's a signs and wonders mandate. That's why everywhere we go, miracles happen. It's just normal. It's just normal. I was preaching in Zimbabwe 4 days ago. Somebody shows up with crutches. I think I had a vision. I said, I saw somebody with crutches now. No, it's like the person has started walking. I didn't even know that the person was going to walk. I already saw that the person started walking. So the man came with 2 crutches. And before I knew what was happening, he was struggling to drop it. I said, oh, you want to express your faith? Go ahead. I didn't pray. He dropped it and began to walk. It's a mandate. Most of our young men here go out. They do the same miracles by the Spirit. God walking through them. When you are sent, there's a mandate. And to achieve this mandate, there's a type of message we preach. When you hear the message we preach, it spares you to do great things for God. That's the idea. Sit down for a moment. So, every sent man has a mandate. He has a mandate. Clear cut. And if you are part of a family that are sent, there's a mandate. You align yourself. You will see the grace flow through you. This is how it works. This is how it works. All the graces that come with this mandate, they are beautiful. From favor to speed to influence. What people do in 10 years, we do in months. Unless we don't sense the leading. If God tells me now, turn this thing to a church, start opening branches, I can open 300 branches in 2 years. And after 2 years, I can do 1,000. The one we are doing now is because this is what we sense him ask us to do. There's so much speed. There's so much favor. You enter anywhere, they treat you like a father of faith. We are the ones who even say, no, no, please. We are young people. Help us. Anything you say here, more than 50 platforms, is already flying everywhere. We don't know any blogger and no one is on salary. We never call anybody, help us push this, not one. But anything you say here, they come under pressure to publicize it. Because some are making money. And we advise them to do it with integrity. Glory to God. There's speed, there's favor, there's influence. It's because of the assignment. God is sending some of you today. You must pay attention to these things. Have you been called? Have you gone through the process? What is the empowerment you have received? What's the strategy? What's the location? And then what is the mandate? What's the message? The mandate speaks of the message and the things the message does. And then finally, there is the requirement for character. Before God sends you, there are definite character traits that you must epitomize. Number one is faithfulness. In Luke 16:10, it says, if you are not faithful in another man's business, who will give you yours? If you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. Luke 16:10 and 12. Number two is brokenness. See this peacock, arrogant mentality. You select the ones you are supposed to do. Ask those who know some of us. In the days of service, under other ministries. I enjoy driving guest ministers. People will come for the meeting with seat to see me. They can't even meet me. I'm booking hotels. I'm driving guest ministers around. Some of them, when I'm driving them, they now look at me and say, "Ah, are you Michael Roku?" I say, "Yes." Ah! They are shocked. There are conferences where I sit at the registration stand. I'm registering people who are coming for the meeting. There are conferences where we were walking in the toilet. Washing toilet. You are not broken. You say, this calling is apostolic. And the rudiments of apostolic ministry is number one, garment. There's a garment. There's an apostolic garment. You now wear it and square your chest. After garment, there's apostolic walk. After apostolic walk, there's apostolic utterance. The pathways of reality. From the dimensions of the heavens. You have apostolic garment, apostolic walk, apostolic utterance, then no apostolic mantle. Brokenness. You give some people instruction, the way they will look at you. It's not your fault. Whatever gave you the audacity to walk up to me, may God forgive you. They won't even answer you. When they look at you, they will just nod their head and go away. For your foolishness, may God open your eyes to know who you are talking to. That this is a global prophet. And they end up with that illusion in their head. Because when God does not see character, He cannot vet you. He cannot put His credibility on you. He can't model you to a generation. That's why you see many gifted people. Some of them declare war from training. After 10 years, you see them. They are now looking for food. When you ask them, they say, "This thing is not easy. This thing is not easy." Don't learn by experience. Learn from the elders, the patterns of scripture. Faithfulness. They can't commit to anything. God was raising me as an apostle, but He didn't train me in the school of apostles. He trained me in the school of process. I was driving cars. I was washing toilet. I was doing kingdom registration. I didn't know. While you are fasting and studying, your character is through service, obedience. And the more you do it, the more grace flows. A point came when we were graduating from a Bible school like this. They called me to give testimonial. The way people came to testify here. As I opened my mouth to talk, the power of God hit the building. People started speaking in tongues. People started falling under the anointing. I just came. This 1 minute testimonial. As I started talking, power. The power of God began to move. People were screaming. They were holding people. Service erupted. It took 30 minutes for them to gather people back. Ministers knelt down, started praying. God fell on my tongue. Meanwhile, I was washing toilet. I know there are unique training for apostles, for prophets, for evangelists. But don't allow your head. Don't become high-minded. You can't go far. And I'm not talking to fivefold ministers. Hope you know most of you are sent to the marketplace. There are impartations that God wants to bring to you. Some is favor. Some is discernment. You can enter business with somebody you know, this one is a son of a serpent. This is not a human being. You know how to engage. You can enter a business. You hear when they ganged up and said they wanted to swindle you. As you shake them, you start hearing the conversation. You say, "Wait, you go, you don't come back." Favor will come on you. You will sit on your own. They will be calling and looking for you to give you opportunities. They are graces. But it's for the sent. It's for the sent. So God will see character, faithfulness, brokenness. God will see love in your heart. Genuine love for God. Genuine love for His people. He called Peter. He said, "Lovest thou me more than this one?" John 21:15-17. The Lord, you know I do. He said, "Keep my lamb." These are things that God wants to see to send a man. Now, because I'm saying this, let me quickly run through God's expectation for you as a sent man. Number one, accuracy in delivery. Whether message, whether burden, whether grace, whatever God has put on your life, you are not ready to be sent until you can deliver with precision. There is a necessity for accuracy. If it's wisdom he gave you for the marketplace, he expects you to be so refined. Don't go there, fail, and come back and start calling for vigil. He expects you to be the best. Excellence. Go and read about Daniel. The Bible says everything the king demanded of them, Daniel was 10 times better. So when you are making your presentation, see, let everybody know that you are better than us. Because you are not just talking from experience and study. There is a grace for an excellent spirit on your life. I'm telling you, God expects precision because the dignity of God is invested in you. You can't go there, fail, and you're apologizing every day. Glory to God. So, precision in delivery. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if any man speaks, it says, let him speak as a custodian of the oracles of God. Don't, you see, you are not ready to be sent if you keep apologizing to your generation. You are not sent to apologize. You were sent to deliver a mandate. So you must gain mastery. See, Paul went somewhere. When Paul preached, the people fell down and began to worship and give offering. They said the gods have come among us. The level of delivery, the excellence, the erudition, the competence was at a scale that the people judged that mortals couldn't reach here. Paul had to tear his clothes and say, no, we are men like you. When God sends you, that's not the time to apologize. That's the time to deliver at the highest level of dexterity. God expects precision and accuracy. Number two, what does God expect from you? God expects absolute obedience to the assignment. Don't go and become creative. While it is possible to do other things as a disguise, because sometimes mission requires that you go as a marksman. You can go for mission as a lecturer, as a teacher, so you can enter certain territories. Paul was a tent maker. You must understand that your loyalty and commitment is not to a job, it's not to a salary, it's not to an individual, it's first to the call. You know the problem with most of us, why we are not kingdom entities? We are not loyal to the assignment. We are running around as though our belly is our God, as though that we don't have a God. A Christian can compromise 1,000 times for quick gratification, even when call is compromised. God expects loyalty. Read your Bible. That's why these things are captured. In Romans 15:4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, will find hope. Now, what part of the things written is the dogged loyalty of the men God sent to territories? Look at Daniel. He was at the risk of losing his favor with the king. Yet he said, we will not bow. Some of us, we compromise just for the front door to the government house to remain open. And we say we are sent to the corridor of power. You are not sent. The moment you compromise, you lose your authority. Number two, number three. God expects you to model his character. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. The word is mimetos. He modeled Christ so much that he said, you can copy me. It's as good as we are copying Jesus. So when God looks down, he's expecting to see Christ likeness. That's why Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. These are the things God expects from us as people who are sent, who are in the field of missions. Number four, fruitfulness. God expects you to produce result. Now, fruitfulness may not necessarily mean quantity. It speaks of impact. Because the first man God created, he gave him abundance. Yet he said, be fruitful. He was in a garden where everything he needed was present. He was the only man on earth. The whole wealth of the world was there. So when God speaks fruitfulness, there is a dimension that has to do with volume. But it's more of qualitative impact. So when you go out there, God is not expecting you to be lost in the crowd. Don't be lost among the doctors. Don't be lost among the professors. Don't be lost among the military officers. Don't be lost among the apostles. Make your mark. See, most of us are comfortable with mediocrity. And we have a million and one reasons why we are mediocre. That's not the mentality of a called man. A called man wants to leave a mark that will impact many generations. This is what you do that opens chambers for the flow of grace. If you are comfortable with mediocrity, there won't be need for much grace to be given to you. You can't be a music minister and you'll sing. That service is over. They forgot that you sang. That service. How do you now expect your generation to know you came? He said, I have made you an eternal excellency. Isaiah 60 verse 15. The joy of many generations. Whatever you are doing, the mark should be so strong that many generations will come. You still inspire them. Till today, I listen to men like Derek Prince and I'm wondering, how did they know the Bible this much? He didn't know what our generation looked like, but he brought his doctrinal submission with so much depth and dexterity that it doesn't matter the generation you come from, you'll still honor what he had to offer. Some of us preach message now. Even the people sitting are like, what is he saying? Meanwhile, you are screaming. You can't impart the people in the hall. How can you impart your generation? Because we don't pay attention. We don't think God expects us to make impact. Somebody, you send him to a territory. After 2 years, they are 23. And he's expecting you to come for apostolic invasion. When will you visit us? Visit who? You people should be praying. That's what you need. Whose visitation? 2 years, they are 23. When you talk, you say, this territory is hard ground. It's hard ground. That same hard ground, somebody else will come and take over. And then other places, you go, you start, you give them 400, 500 people. You come 1 year later, they are 82. Where are the people? Instead of growing upward, they are growing down. Because they are not paying attention to the demand of fruitfulness. And Jesus said, if you are not fruitful as a branch, you will be cut off and cast into the fire. Because God wants fruitful people. Number five, endurance. You are sent, you must endure. There are many people who run from missions. Have you read the story of John Mark? Traveling with Paul. He thought when they travel around, people are going to honor them. They are going to give honorarium. They are going to be enjoying themselves. He went from one city to another city. He saw persecution. He saw reproach. That's why John Mark said, I'm going home. I'm too young to die. When I mature, I will look for you. When Barnabas called John Mark the second time, Paul said, never. Anybody who can't endure can't be sent. We sent one of our people to a place. He went there. He said he needed a 3-bedroom flat. AC. I said, Jesus said, when I sent you without standard, without post, he said, did you lack anything? This ministry is grace that sponsored it. It's grace. If you don't have grace, come back. We'll teach you how to open your chamber so that grace can flow. Vision Field is not a place where You sit down, cross your leg. You are looking for bed and air condition. Where will, the thing is banner. What we give you is called minimum comfort. So that you can wake up in the night and pray in tongues and prophesy. If the grace grow, the grace, all those things will come out of the grace. I told you, it will come out. I sat in my house when somebody drove a black Cadillac. I said, the car you are driving, it doesn't fit you. I said, yes, it doesn't. Look at you. You think I will say, no, carry car away. We are trekking for Jesus. We are not serious. No covetousness, but if you bring it, God has provided. If there is need for mission, God knows my heart. Any day, any time, I will sell it. But if there's no need and God chooses that it shall come, it's a good place to serve God from. You have not built anything. You sit down. We need LED screen. When you need LED screen, this is the grace that will provide the resources now. LED screen is not manna. It doesn't fall from heaven. I sent somebody somewhere. I gave two of them, I think 17 or 22,000 US dollars. After 3 months, they were sending message to greet me. I said, don't greet me. Send me your record from the field. You know, when they start greeting you like that, they want to tell you that, yes, what you gave, we did this, but now, if only little can be added. There's no, the little that we added from heaven. So connect. When I left them for 3 months, they prayed, they fasted, they prophesied. Now, one sent me a picture yesterday. They've moved to a new venue. They have become bigger. Missions requires endurance. Paul said, endure hardship or hardness as a good soldier of Christ. He said, no man that worried entangled himself with the affairs of this life so that he will please the master who sent him. If you are not ready for endurance, when they are commissioning those who are sent, say, sir, I think my place is to be with you in the house here. We will be having fellowship here. We'll be having fellowship. But if you want to be sent, endurance is part of it. Finally, what does God expect? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. I've told you again and again, you are going as a witness. So God expects you to demonstrate signs and wonders. It's not for prophets. Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Yes. One of the proof is signs and wonders. You too lay hands on the sick, let them recover. You too prophesy. You too cast out devils. When God is looking down, He's expecting you to manifest signs and wonders. Do you know how beautiful the work of God will be? If people started casting out demons in the bank, in the lecture halls of universities, not to disrupt what is going on, but too much virtue, that the presence of demons are dictated and sanctioned. Do you know how beautiful it will be if doctors, in addition to prognosis, begin to cast out devils? So when you are doing ward round in the morning, as you are touching them, it's healing power you are depositing. It's not temperature you are checking. You touch them, you come back in the evening, the whole hall is discharged. Even the business will blow open. We need doctors that discharge people by power. By power. This is the generation. God sent you there. That's your platform. And is expecting you to demonstrate wonders. Because you are a God. You are a child of a God of wonders. Wonders are not meant for your pastors. Testimonies are not only to be shared on the altar in church. People should say in your bank, there was a demon troubling my child. When she agreed with me, the child is free. Bring testimonies from the field. Bring testimonies. Not that apostle spoke last Sunday. Apostle spoke 2 Sundays ago. No. Your colleagues should follow you from work. And say, this sister, I didn't know she's a woman of fire. I was having a tumor in my breast. She just touched me. The tumor disappeared. That's the sign that the church is taking over. We think church is taking over because we gather a lot of people in the church. No. They are strange audiences. People can come here to take miracle and go. They are not part of church. Church take over when we start hijacking the systems by power. That's what God wants to see when he sees you. What power do you demonstrate? Some of us have never cast out devils. Some of us, we've never laid hands on the sick, they recover. We don't even think it's within our jurisdictions to so do. So if somebody is sick, you either direct them to doctor or you direct them to your pastor. When will you wake up and say, where are you feeling the pain? Let's see. In the name of Jesus, pain, go. Please let me know what happens in 2 hours. That's what God expects. When he looks down, he's looking down on miracle workers. Praise God. How many of us are getting ready to be sent? You have to be sent. There is a part only you can play. I can't play it. And there's a part God has destined for me to play. All of us must play our part. As I round up, let me show you 3 major blessings of missions. I don't have time to show you the field of mission. There is marketplace mission. I'll just list it. Write it down. Marketplace mission is a mission field that orients around your area of expertise. It's an expertise-based mission field. So if you are a lecturer, and you are in the university, you are a marketplace apostle or missionary to the academia. If you are a blogger, you are online every day doing skits and videos, you are a missionary or an apostle to the media. If you are a doctor, you go to the hospital every day of the week, you are an apostle to the medical world. You'll be shocked that you may win more souls than somebody who says he's an evangelist. Imagine you see 20 patients every day and you are winning 2 souls. In a year, you win over 700 souls. Many evangelists can't hit that feat. And it's easier for you because most of the people you meet are either sick or dying. So by default, their heart is open for anything that brings hope. So there is the marketplace mission field. Daniel did his in Babylon. Daniel 2:48. You remember Paul met Priscilla and Aquila in the market. Number 2. There is a systemic mission field. This borders on structures of influence that forms the fabric of civilization. So you have kings in the palace. That's a system. You have oligarchs. The billionaire world. Where they sit down, they talk business in billions about nations. They are taking a stroll in a yacht. So you see, on a Saturday, they are on the Atlantic. 30 people. They just want to look at the sea. It's a mission field. It's a system. That's where they determine what enters the market. What enters the medical field. God may give you a place there. You can be there as a billionaire yourself. And you can be there as a butler. You can make impact. So there is a systemic kind of mission. And then, there is a people group mission field. Paul was speaking. He said, I was sent to the Gentiles. So there's a people group. Even your family is a mission field. Some of us need to win our family to Jesus. When God increased influence on my life a little, 1 January 1st, when we gathered to pray, I led all of them to Christ. You know, my dad My dad is a is a proper African dad. You know this type that you fear when he's around. If he looks at you, he has transmitted every message you need to hear. And we knew that from when we were 5. My father looks at you, you know that there is judgment awaiting you for this error. Maybe a visitor was around, you did something. You know, this one is not rebuke. This one means when the visitor leaves, something will happen. So, you are preparing yourself to shout and you are praying that neighbors will be around. So that when you shout, at least one will come. So even when we grew up, we had to be in order when he himself knew that he was a lion. When the spirit of boldness came and a little influence, I told them, anybody who doesn't make Jesus his Lord will go to hell. And nobody in this family should go to hell. You must believe this, you must believe that, you must believe that. I said, everybody, put your hand on your chest. I wanted to be sure my father will obey. Because sometimes when you are doing something that he doesn't approve of, he will look at you like this and then look to the side. So you too have grown up to give instructions here. When he said the prayer, I say amen. Your family is a mission field. When Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me, go into all the world. He was referring to informal groups. Family inclusive. Friends. Some of you, your mission field should be your friends. Those drunkards that were your guys, that you clubbed together. Now you have come out. Don't go immediately. They can take you back. Now that you have built stamina, when they have problems and they start reaching out, you'll say, but wait, you'll see they drink that beer. Then you start winning them one by one. After a while, you'll pull all of them over. Most of my friends are working in the ministry now. So there are people group kind of mission. Schools. Our people go to schools. We win souls there. We establish kingdom there. Then you have cities. This is when you have capacity. You can shut down a city. He said Philip went to Samaria. Acts 8:5. He shut down the city. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. Jonah 3 verse 2. So there are city-based mission fields. There are some people, they can't do all these smaller ones again in cities. Like a Benny Hinn. If he's coming, he shuts down everywhere. So it's a city. You have grown in the business. Then there are nations. Nations are also mission fields. Jeremiah was sent to nations to uproot and to pull down, to establish. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 to 7. So nations can be mission. See, there's a level God grows you to. When you are entering a nation, both the government and the body of Christ will receive you and say, speak to us. What you are doing, apart from the millions that gather, is transmitted on every network. The whole nation is shut down. The cabinet of the government, from the president to the whole cabinet, they are there. When you finish, they dedicate the country to God and ask you to bless the nation. It's a field of mission. You may not start from cities and nations. Start from people group. But every one of us, we have a mission field. Start from the marketplace, the area of your expertise. And of course, there is the church. The church is for those who are called into the fivefold. Here we disciple people. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 17. So these are mission fields. Alright? So every one of us have a mission field. If you say, well, me, I know be prophet. You are an expert. Go to your area of expertise. Go to your job. Oh, you say, me, I know get job. You have friends. You have families. Those are people groups. And if you have influence, take cities, take nations. And if you are called into the fivefold, speak to the church. It's a mission field. You know the problem? Sometimes we forget what we are doing. So a man can stand on the altar and it becomes a place for him to vent. Everybody who offended him, the moment he carries mic, He forgets that the church is a mission field. He abuses his own platform by using that platform instead of building the church to vent anger, to reply those who spoke to him, to vent malice. So we don't know we are sent. What are the blessings of missions for those who are sent? Blessings. When next I have time, I will deal with the hazards like persecution. Some of you say, I want to serve God. I want to show God to my generation. The first clip you put online, somebody will now say, wait, oh, is it everybody that is now a preacher? Who is this creature? You will not, who is this creature? Will now enter you like fire. And it will be poking you. You will never preach again. They are hazards. Hazards. Somebody, you will say something. Maybe you wanted to quote a scripture. You now quoted it wrongly. Then somebody will carry his laptop and start exegesis to condemn your whole ministry with one scripture that you either didn't interpret well or quoted out of context. This is why we say the church has a problem. Because of people like this. Now, this is what he said. This is wrong. This is theologically wrong. This is etymologically wrong. The epistemology of this truth is not consistent. There will type. When you are now reading it, what will now pain you is that 10 other people will come there and make comment. Every creature now, he says, is a preacher. Who is this urchin? See the way he's even talking and nodding. See his beard. When you see it, the comment will fast into your soul. And after 1 year, you will discover you didn't preach another sermon again. They are hazards. So we will look at it at another time so that we show you how to deal with occupational hazards like persecution, like accusations, like misunderstandings, like warfare. They are hazards of mission. Every sent man will face them. I can't tell you how many people have insulted us. God does names. One looked at me and said, he's wearing that comrade safari and talking nonsense and nodding his head. At least I'm a comrade of somebody. They will strike you, you want to die. If you don't have stamina, you may be sent for 2 weeks. But those of us who have learned how to receive help, Paul said, I continue to this day because the Lord, Acts 26:22, helped me. So there are hazards in mission, misunderstanding, rejection, persecution, even loneliness. There are times when you go to mission, you are coming back, your heart will be so lonely, lost will enter. You will just want to find yourself on a beach somewhere, sunbathing. You won't know where it came from. Loneliness. Some people went for mission. They started looking for men and women to date. They are not bad people. It's hazard. Loneliness entered the soul. So they wanted to embrace the opposite sex. They didn't know. Their head, something is telling them, you want to fall? You want to fall? And they still went. So we'll show you structures of dealing with hazards of missions. But what are the blessings of missions? Number one, divine backing. When you are sent, one thing you have a guarantee for is that God won't leave you. He said in Mark 16:17, he said, go, these signs follow them that believe. In fact, verse 15, he said, it says to go and preach the gospel in all nations. Then verse 17 says, these signs will follow you. Then verse 20 says, and the Lord walking with them. And the Lord walking with them. In Matthew 28, verse 18-19, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go into all the world, disciple all nations. Verse 20, he said, lo, I will be with you always. One of the biggest blessings of a sent man is that God is always with him. Being sent guarantees divine presence. That's why you see many things happen around us in the mission field that we know we don't even have faith for. It's because God is with you. So if you are sent, you are guaranteed of divine presence. And if God is with you, the Bible says, who can be against you? So when we encourage people to go into missions, we are also opening them up to possibilities. One of it is God's presence. Look at the children of Israel. When God went with them, the Bible said he rebuked even kings for their sakes. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He said their shoe grew with them. Their clothes didn't grow weary. He fed them with manna, angel bread. When they needed water, the rock brought water for them. That presence will guarantee preservation. Most of us are saying, God, where are you? Where are you? It's because we are not committed to the assignment. Those of us who are in the mission field, when we lift our voice, heaven hears. When we make requests, there is answer. Because we are guaranteed. Not just because the Bible said the Holy Ghost will be in us and with us. Experientially, we see God every day. Number two, authority. When you are sent, you are sent with authority. I know I carry it because I'm sent. There was a time when I needed a feeling to feel powerful. I outgrew it. The moment he sent me, he wielded authority into that errand. The message carries it. Go! That's all. I carried authority. Luke 10:19, when he sent them, he said, cast out devils. Tread upon serpents and scorpions. Lay hands on the sick. Raise the dead. The sent man is sent with authority. In Luke 24:49, say, wait until you are endued with power. You can't be sent and not have authority. See, when I went to Canada on Wednesday, that was like the worst journey of my life. I was supposed to fly to London 6 hours, 30 minutes thereabout, 2 hours layover, and then fly to Montreal, which is about 7 hours or 6 hours, 30 minutes. So the whole journey was supposed to be like 17 hours. I got to London, checked into my flight after 2 hours. We sat in the plane for 4 hours, 30 minutes. The flight that was to take off by 6:20, almost 11 p.m., we were still there. They now announced and told us, sorry, the flight can't go. Operational reasons and weather. And disembarked us. And gave us a link. Download 15 pounds. And buy biscuits and eat. Get a hotel. And later, they say later, they will give you liability claim of 200 pounds. This is almost 12 now, no? I came down. I called my people. They got me a hotel, picked me up. I went there. As I was going, they now rescheduled me. Because according to them, they wanted me to catch my schedule for Canada the next day. They now rescheduled me and routed me through Amsterdam. My flight was for 8:20. It's an international flight. I had to be at the airport by 6. So I got to the hotel by 2 a.m. I looked for something to eat. I woke up 5 and got to the airport. My flight from Amsterdam, I landed Amsterdam 10:20. My flight from Amsterdam was for 3:40. So I sat down for 5 hours. Before boarding, 7 hours flight to arrive where I was going. Meanwhile, they are 5 hours behind us. So I had to preach that evening. A 16 hours journey became 41 hours. And I preached 2 days. In order to be in this service, I had to fly through Morocco. So I left Saturday to Casablanca. I left Casablanca 12 midnight yesterday to arrive 5 a.m. today. I'm talking to you now. You know, it's not a joke, sir. The thing comes with a lot of demand. But the beauty is that there's authority. And that's why I told you the story. After flying 41 hours, traveling 41 hours, I told them I will only preach for 1 hour. I'm tired. When I came up, I finished talking. The moment I finished, I said, tomorrow will be power service, but let me just release something on people. The moment I said, Jesus, I stood. This I was watching. The power of God hit the building like a wave, like a tornado. Now, this is a French-speaking region. So they were interpreting in French. There was not so much emotional. When I said, Jesus, oh my Father, the power of God swept through the building. They were holding people till I left. Word of knowledge open. Just calling cases like you are playing. Healing, 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 healing. People were crying, screaming. Even me, I was shocked. I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't sensing anything. I just felt, since it's the first night, let me stir the water. I just said, Jesus. It's like angels ran through the people. When God sends you, He gives you authority. See, that authority is your insurance. It's just at the mercy of you talking. When you talk, things happen. A woman was using a walking aid. I said, no, mama, drop it. You shouldn't use that. That was all. She dropped it and began to... You are just there. You are just there. So every sent man is blessed with authority. See, most of us, the things we are crying for, we are still crying for them because we refuse to run God's errand. Some of you, it's not even to nations. They say, let's do outreach in Lokogoma here. You don't come. That's why the things you should think to happen or command to happen, you have been praying for 3 months. But we say, hey! And things change. My wife called me and said, my first son was not feeling well. And I was trying to catch my flight. Put your hand on him. Hey, Satan! It wasn't up to 30 minutes. He was running everywhere till date. That's authority. You can't be out for God and Satan is bullying you. No, when you went out not just for Jesus, but as Jesus. That's the blessing. Number 3 is provision. Seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. It says, every other thing you are looking for will be added to you. Every other thing. See, there is no week that I am not super blessed. I don't want to stir your loss. But those who are close to me, they know. People lose their peace from all around the world. They want to bless you. All around the world. I don't know 98% of those God used to bless me on daily basis. All kinds of blessings you can't imagine. Because the moment you threw yourself out, you became God's responsibility. I am blessed on every side, sir. If the thing just keeps increasing. I have people who handle financial transactions. This is the job. Change the currency. Just be changing. Because the thing is just... I'm not preaching money. You will hardly hear me say, hey, give... No, no. But they can't sleep. They can't sleep. If I'm in any city and they know I'm there, people travel from far and wide. They just want to come and give you something. Most times when I travel, I have to buy bags. And because I can't, I leave things. You leave all kinds of things. From things to money. Because there's a limit you can't travel with. I don't have time to start explaining myself with immigration. You are blessed. I'm telling you, you are blessed. When you are sent, you are blessed. What others are begging for, they come to you naturally. You are blessed. And then, not to talk of the basic ones. You don't even need to buy them. There are people that have made it their calling to supply those. They just supply it. But it's because you are attending to the assignment. And you don't have to go from nation to nation. You are part of a family. They say we are winning souls. You are not involved. So you are not walking among the sent. That's why some of us, we are only blessed when somebody lay hands on us. It shouldn't be so. Your going out, your coming in should be blessed. Then, eternal reward because of our time. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There remained for me a crown of righteousness. And he says, it's not only for me. It's also for everyone that loves the appearing of Jesus. There's a crown. What we are doing here, God won't forget it. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. God won't forget it. He said, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love that you bestowed upon the saints. You know the problem with most of us is that our thinking around divine blessings is narrow. Unless an anointed person lay hands on me, prophesy over me, I won't be blessed. Listen, you may not have to need an anointed man to pray for you to prosper. There are too many channels in this kingdom. Kingdom service is one of it. If you are committed to kingdom, you'll be shocked. You will be so blessed that you will even think having somebody lay hands on you in itself is a scam. Not because it is so, but God will be doing so much while you have no need of seeing anybody. Because there are many channels. But the problem of the Christian is that, hey, this anointed apostle, this anointed prophet must lay hands on me first. Some people will hear you teach heaven and earth. Guess what their prayer is? The day I will meet you. You don't need to meet me. The truth I'm showing you is more powerful than me 1,000 times. But they are not committed. You can wield authority. You can have divine backing. You can have provision and abundance. And you can be sure of reward in eternity. You don't have to go to Jesus hoping that you'll be rewarded. Like Paul, you can say with authority, there's a reward for me. Because you know the rudiments. You know the prerequisite. And it's to serve. Tonight, there is a summon. I told you, many are called. And you are part of the many. But whether you be sent or not, there are requirements. If you will commit yourself and your heart tonight and say, Lord, somebody told me, Catherine Kuhlman said, Lord, I have nothing. If you can use nothing, use me. I may not have the best of lingo. I may not be the most charismatic. I may not even feel worthy. But if you feel you can use somebody like me, if you feel you can send somebody like me, I am ready. If you will make that commitment, beyond those graduating, tonight a grace can come upon you. Because there is a demand in the kingdom for sent men. We have many politicians, but there are few sent men. We have many engineers, but there are few sent men. We have many doctors, there are few sent men. We have many businessmen, but there are few sent men. We have been overtaken by greed for what we can gain from our careers. And we have forgotten that our careers are platforms. Some of us, the biggest thing we do for God is to avail ourselves on Sunday. It's such a big deal that when we come, even we are shocked that we made out time for God. And we expect the church to know that we are busy people, to be very quick with whatever we are doing, because we have just 30 minutes here. Hello. Stand to your feet. that reflection. You are 35 years old. You are 51 years old. You are 66 years old. You are 72 years old. To what extent have you deployed this precious time given to you to serve God's purpose? To what extent? If your life were to be censored, what's the degree of accountability as far as stewardship is concerned? You have been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. To what extent have you participated in advancing God's agenda? How much can God entrust to you? For some of us, we have to go. For some of us, we have to pray it. And for some of us, we have to give for it. And for some of us, we have to do all three. If you don't have time to go, you should have time to pray. And if you don't have time to pray, you should have resources to give. To what extent? Imagine if it's only your kind that is on earth. If it's only people like you that remain on earth, what will be the witness that Jesus will have? Tonight there is a requirement for sentiment. If you are here this evening and you are telling the Lord, I don't know your view though. I listed it. There's the marketplace. There's the people group. There are cities, there are nations, there is the church. But whichever area you have sensed before that God is sending you to, but you have not aligned, tonight is another opportunity. If you want God, of course, apart from these ones that are graduating, you want to tell the Lord again, I don't want to waste my existence any further. I want to be part of those you can entrust with a mandate and send. Either with this family or whatever it is you want to commit to me. If you are making that commitment, lift your right hand. Don't do it emotionally. Do it purposefully. Do it purposefully. Those of you lifting your hand, come to the front. Let me pray with you. I just feel that those who are graduating are not all the people. You have been in that marketplace for long. You have been in that career for long. You have been in that city for long. You have been in that nation for long. Dr. Divine, come. Elohim Adonai. The final blessing of operating as a sent man is fulfillment. When your time is accomplished in time, you are not going home with, no, you are fulfilled. You know that your days on earth, they were spent well. You will know. You will be happy at old age that you didn't waste your energy, you didn't waste your time, you didn't waste your money. You will look at souls, millions that were transformed because of you. Nations that were impacted because of you. Nothing will fulfill more than it. The generation need to rise. For some of you, you will need to be enrolled in the next cohort and be trained. You know, some of you stopped because somebody discouraged you. You sang a song. Some songs of demons came online and said, "What kind of voice is this one?" And you stopped. But tonight, God will restore. God will restore. Place your hand on your chest. That is bringing restoration. Usher, accept them. Restoration. That calling that was lost. Restoration. Seven. And it's coming like a garment of fire. Because God is awakening you for a new field. A new field. Help them. Help them. Seven. Take it. Bring them to the stage, quick. Yes, that were lost. Callings that were lost. Graces that became stuck, congealed. Awakenings of the Spirit. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. People that God is sending to the marketplace. These are marketplace apostles. There is a favor you carried. There is an influence you carried. It has diminished because you backed out. But now there is an awakening. Carriers of grace for the marketplace. Wherever they are standing now, Holy Ghost, this is the moment of the Spirit. Help that guy. Holy Spirit. In the oil industry, in the academia, in media, in education, wherever they are standing, Marakata, Sepatea, Maragadina, Takaparuda, Tata, 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 Tag! Help them, help them! Holy Ghost! Beriado, Kaparuna, Taya, Sepatea, in the bank, in government and governance, in media, marketplace apostles, carriers of the grace, carriers of the mantle, now like a flame of fire. Hey! Persecution, accusation, hardship. Some of you actually fell. Loneliness crept into your soul. You fell again. And you disqualified yourself. Tonight, mercy says no. Everyone that was stopped by the hazards of mission, from loneliness to warfare to persecution to force, in the name of Jesus, there is an oil. I see 12 people. There's an oil coming upon you for restoration. Some of you, your hand will catch that fire. Some of you, your head. Some of you, your feet. Something will come on you now. Wherever you are standing, now. For some of you, you are seeing visions as I speak. Doors are opening. Gates are opening. Take that oil. Take it. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. Chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. Chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. Chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. Some of you have carried guilt. Oh, I said, I disappointed God. And you have carried guilt in your heart. The Lord says to tell you, He's not angry with you. He wants to restore you. You are injured. You are falling. He wants to lift you up so that this great ministry, this great calling, this great ordination does not disappear. Father, everyone here that you are doing a new thing with, opening a new frontier, starting a new work, I stretch hands over them. Oh my God, I see the fire come on two people now. Aggressively, I stretch hands over them like the rod of the everlasting priesthood. Take! Your hand in my direction. This is the last work of the Spirit that is going to do with those of you who came out, both on ground and online. God is telling me He's opening international doors for diverse kinds of missions. These are gates of nations within Africa, beyond Africa. And He says to release that grace on someone. I don't know if you are here, if you are on ground or online. But something will come on this person, you can't even hold him. Because it's a power that shifts continents. is a power that shifts nations. It's a power that shifts territories. Such as I have, everyone ordained to be a voice over nations, and to whom doors of nations should open, wherever they are standing now, by the word of the Spirit, it has been proclaimed. Let that grace come upon them now. Ushers, help me quickly. Tag! Your right hand on your chest. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I consecrate myself again to the work of missions. I yield myself to you, Lord, to the degree you want me to serve. I commit my time. I commit my energy. I commit my heart. I commit my resources. Use me for your glory. Every power that has hindered me before now, I command those powers lifted. Use me for your glory. Use me for your service. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I decree from today, every potential you have put in these ones will begin to find expression. Those who will minister to the church, I decree that they be born. Those who will minister to the marketplace, realms of their expertise, I decree that they be born. Those who will minister to people groups, I decree that they be born. Those who will minister to cities, I decree that they be born. Those who will minister to nations, I decree that they be born. And those who will minister to continents, I decree that they be born in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Let that grace be released. Let that grace be released. Let that grace be released in Jesus' mighty name. I don't know why. I'm still sensing something dropping on someone. It's the ability to work wonders, miracles, signs and wonders. I'm seeing that thing drop. Those of you by my left, lift your hand. I'm seeing something drop there. Walk, signs and wonders. Don't be distracted though. If somebody is falling, leave him to receive whatever he's receiving. This is your moment. Lift your hand here. I see it come like a scepter. Take it. Somebody is receiving speed. 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 Mileage, 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 mileage. Catch it in the name of Jesus.